Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Run Riot by Colette Rhodes, narrated by Rebecca Estrella and Lance West. I have loved the stars too fondly to be fearful of the night. Sarah Williams. Prologue. Grace. The ruins at Ephesus were oppressively silent at midnight. Gone were the human tourists who visited this place during the day to admire the achievements of civilization and architecture this site represented, though there weren't so many this time of year anyway. It was cold. I shivered in my wool coat, hands scrunched into fists inside the pockets, wishing I'd worn gloves. There were no other Agathos or Daemons here now. Sometimes they would secretly visit these ruins, disguised as human tourists, to make a pilgrimage to their respective goddesses, the mothers of creation. It was never a pilgrimage I intended to make, even though many Agathos did. I'd always felt too twisted inside, too tainted to contemplate visiting such a sacred place. Only the very desperate would be at this place at this time of night. And yet here I was, by invitation of the divine, to visit one goddess that I served, whose image I'd been made in, and one I was supposed to hate, but couldn't. One who'd given me life, but the other who'd given me purpose. I was standing on a precipice from which I couldn't return, and I wasn't alone. I would never be alone again. Maybe I'd walk out of this as the first Agathos to fall from the light, or maybe I'd already fallen. Perhaps I might be the first Daemon to be made, not born. As I looked between the four men standing stoically at my side, ready to face off against the divine without an ounce of fear, I wondered if that would really be so bad. I was born to serve the light, but the dark had brought them to me. My friends, my lovers, my soulmates. The dark had given me life and hope and meaning when I'd had none. Once upon a time, their kind had been my enemy. Now, it was my own people I had to fear. Chapter 1. Grace. I could have sworn my wallet was in here. The woman in line in front of me wailed, frantically digging through her oversized purse. Oh, no. Already, my palms were itching with the urge to help her. My instincts insisted that she was a human in need, and that was what I was here for. What every Agathos was here for. To ease the suffering of humans in need and silently guide them towards the path of light. To the goddess Anisidora's path. All I'd wanted to do was grab some cupcakes from the store for Verity Mae's baby shower. Sorry, just give me a couple of minutes. I swear it's in here. I need this stuff. It's for my son's birthday party, the woman said in a rush. She didn't look much older than me, late 20s perhaps, but there were huge shadows under her dark eyes, and her black hair was pulled up in a very mom-like, messy bun. I'd really hoped to get through today without anything bad happening, but that wasn't the reality of my life. I was a dispenser of luck, and I couldn't walk away from a human in need of some, even if good luck for them meant bad luck for me. Let me help you look, I offered quietly. I'd pushed some of my Agathos gift into my voice to soothe her and make her more amenable to my help. So she didn't object as I stepped closer and rested my palm on her exposed forearm. While I pretended to help her look in her purse, probably raising the eyebrows of everyone else in the store, I opened the well of my magic, letting some luck flow through me to her. My palm tingled where it rested on the woman's arm, but she wouldn't feel anything except a pleasant, unexplainable heat that she'd promptly forget. I don't see it here, I said with a frown as I pulled my hand away. Apparently her good luck wasn't going to be finding her wallet at the bottom of her overfilled purse. Here, let me, a baritone voice said from behind me. A fancy-looking middle-aged businessman stepped around me, holding out his credit card to pay for the woman's groceries. Oh, thank you, sir, the woman said, eyes welling up alarmingly fast. He gave her a tight smile before stepping back, looking immensely uncomfortable as the lady gathered up her bags, thanking him the whole way out of the store. I paid for the cupcakes before making my way back to my car slowly, hoping something terrible happened between the store and my vehicle, because otherwise I was about to have a very unfortunate afternoon at Verity May's baby shower. The car door unlocked easily. I didn't trip on anything on the way out. No one had scratched the paint while I was inside. So far, so good. Which was also kind of bad. The last few miles to Verity May's parents' house where the shower was being held were likewise uneventful. It was an enormous brick colonial mansion in central Auburn, surrounded by manicured lawns that didn't have a single leaf on the ground, despite the fact that it was fall. Huh. I even managed to find a parking space not far from the house. These were probably all bad signs. I checked my makeup in the rearview, finding nothing amiss in my heavily made-up to not look made-up face. My brown skin was appropriately highlighted and dewy-looking, opal-colored agathos eyes framed by natural-looking false lashes and winged eyeliner, long black hair perfectly curled at the ends, nothing between my teeth. Suspicious. I quietly let myself into the mansion, following the sounds of laughter coming from the formal sitting area. If my bad luck was that I was running late, I'd happily take it. Perhaps Anissa Dora would be feeling generous today. You guys, Verity May squealed, clapping her hands once over her enormous bump. She was a tiny woman who was all belly at the moment, and I smiled to myself at seeing her in this stage of life she'd been so looking forward to. Verity May's blonde hair was looking particularly thick and lustrous, and she was dressed impeccably elegantly in a beige bump-skimming dress that matched the party's color scheme. She was standing at the front of the room in front of an entire wall that had been turned into some sort of white, beige, and gold balloon display with globes of all different sizes. It kind of reminded me of bubbling caramel. The balloons continued up the wall and covered half of the ceiling, growing increasingly large in size, with plush teddy bears dangling from gold ribbons like they were being hanged from the rafters. Or carried off into the clouds, which was probably what they had been going for. Sugar. The amount of money they spent on balloons for this party could have probably furnished a whole nursery, which was their prerogative and not my place to judge, I chastised internally. Today was a happy occasion. Verity May had finally found all four of her soul bonds and was expecting her first child. No need to be negative just because I was single and lonely and bad luck was about to come crashing down on me at any moment. Negativity was very un-Agathos, and I was really trying to work on that. The balloons matched the tasteful cream-on-cream decor that every Agathos seemed to share. The whole party was the epitome of neutral elegance, since Verity May had made a huge to-do about not finding out the sex of the baby. You have all spoiled me today, she gushed, gesturing at the piles of gifts in the corner of the lavish living room. I hovered awkwardly near the food table by the door at the back of the room, not wanting to pick through everyone's outstretched legs to find a seat on one of the sofas. That was definitely inviting bad luck. Verity May continued her thank you speech, expounding on all the many ways the goddess Anissa Dora had blessed her while I set cupcakes on the table, wishing I'd improved my piping skills enough to actually bake for these events, and unnecessarily smoothed over the pleats in my pale pink skirt. A few of the guests had already noticed me enter and were giving me the discreet, pitying looks I should have been used to receiving, but never failed to make me uncomfortable. I was surprised Verity May had even invited me. Plenty of the other women in this room stopped bothering years ago to avoid the awkwardness of my presence. "I need to get into that cake, like, right now," Verity May continued to a chorus of giggles, gesturing at the cream-colored 5-tier cake, complete with fondant teddy bear topper on the table next to me. "So, I'll keep this brief. My guys and I are so excited to meet this little one," she said, smiling genuinely as she rubbed her belly. The hard edges of the bitterness I was trying to suppress set feeling like the odd one out, and surrounded by reminders that I'd probably be alone forever, softened a little at seeing her happiness. "We are so honored that he or she will have such a wonderful community around them, and we are so grateful to you all for this amazing day," Verity May added, beaming at everyone in the room. She had a carefully honed talent for making someone feel like she was speaking just to them, even in a crowded room. I clapped along delicately with the rest of the women present. My Agathos peers, the women I'd grown up with, played with, volunteered with, and visited the temple with, smiling along like I fit in with them. Truthfully, I didn't, and we all knew it. That was why I didn't blame them for not wanting to invite me to celebrate their milestones when I was so far behind on reaching them. That I'd moved half an hour to Milton was just an additional convenient excuse for all of us to avoid these situations. "One more thing. It felt like my journey took so long," Verity May sighed, unnecessarily fluffing her hair as her eyes went glassy. Her pupils were the same inhuman swirl of lavender, teal, and gold as mine, as everyone's in the room. Agathos' eyes, the mark of the goddess Anisadora. Idly, I wondered what color humans saw Verity May's eyes as. Blue, probably. I'd been complimented on my dark brown by humans before, though I'd never see them that way. Lotheviosis was one of the goddess's primary commandments for the Agathos. Live hidden. Humans were never to know about us. "And that is why I wanted us all to make a special prayer to Anisadora for Grace Bellamy." My wandering attention returned to the room instantly as every set of eyes swiveled to me in what was possibly my worst nightmare. "Oh, that hardly seems necessary," I protested weakly, shrinking in on myself as though I could disappear into the decor. Maybe I could hide in the balloon wall? "Was it hot in here? It felt hot." "Grace B," Verity May laughed. "Don't be embarrassed. I've been in your position. Well, not quite in your position. But it took so long for me to meet Marcus. It felt like it would never happen. And I appreciated all the prayers people gave me to help me on my journey." I didn't miss the chastisement in her tone, and I doubted anyone else did either. "You're what? 25 now?" Grace M. asked sympathetically, sitting the closest to me. She was also pregnant, with her third, or was it fourth, child. Sugar. I should definitely know that. When we used to play tennis together as kids, I couldn't have imagined the different directions our lives would take. "Yes," I replied, clearing my throat. 25. "And no bonded," I added with a strained laugh, like it didn't bother me at all. "No siree, I am fine. Nothing to see here. Please, everyone, Stop staring at me. Maybe you're looking in the wrong place, Serenity asked from Grace M's other side. Have you ever felt the call? Perhaps you should consider visiting your ancestral home. Where's your mother from again? Canada, I volunteered with a tight-lipped smile, very familiar with where this conversation was going. Before that, her ancestral home, she pushed impatiently, like she was on the verge of a major breakthrough. Auburn wasn't the most diverse of places, and my mother, a woman of Indian descent who'd been born and raised in Saskatoon, had been quite the topic of conversation when she'd felt called here to meet her final soul bond and had chosen to stay. One of my fathers is from Wisconsin, and I couldn't believe it when the call led me there to meet Noble. You need to be open-minded about these things, Grace. Maybe your bonded are in your mother's ancestral home. Serenity gave me a pointed look, like the 3-day trip she'd taken to Milwaukee with her 3 existing bonded was exactly the same as me going to India, a country I'd never been to and knew almost nothing about. Not that I'd ever felt any soul bond call to go there anyway. Her heart is in the right place, I reminded myself unenthusiastically. I should have made an excuse and stayed home today. All the pity made me feel the kind of rage my kind weren't supposed to be able to feel, and I didn't need yet another reminder of all the ways I was different. Defective. Let's pray, Verity May called, bringing the conversation to a halt. The room fell silent, everyone's head dropping diligently downwards, eyes closed. Anisadora, thank you for the blessings you have provided us all, for our soul bonds, our children, our families, our health, and our happiness. Please guide Grace B., a good and devoted daughter of yours, on her journey to discover her own soul bonds, so that she may experience the overwhelming happiness of your gift. Latheviosas. Latheviosis, I murmured along in response with everyone else, twisting my fingers roughly in my beige cashmere sweater. A constant daily reminder that our purpose was to serve the humans who knew nothing about us. They just want what's best for you, I reminded myself as I smiled thankfully at Verity May for the prayer. My internal voice was beginning to sound suspiciously like my mother, chastising me for my ingratitude and general array of personality flaws. These kind of events had challenged my self-control for the past 3 or 4 years now. I should have gotten used to it. Used to showing up alone. Used to pitying smiles and well-meaning prayers. Why wasn't it getting any easier? Okay, everyone, Verity May said with a clap, shooting me another painfully sympathetic look. Let's cut that cake. And because being the focus of their prayer and pity wasn't embarrassing enough, my bad luck kicked in the moment I leaned over the table, knocking over the whole thing, including the 5-tier cake that was on top of it. Right before I fell butt first into the mess. Fortunately, after apologizing profusely and explaining that I'd gifted a woman at the store good luck before I'd arrived, I was able to make a fast escape. It was no secret among the Agathos in Auburn that I had the gift of good luck, Eutychia, and therefore bad luck followed me around like a bad smell. And while I wasn't ungrateful, I wasn't. My life would certainly be easier if I had the gift of moral virtue, arete, like Verity May did. Little slips in my own moral virtue in return for guiding a human were a lot less unpleasant as far as consequences went than bad luck. Basically, I drove home in a borrowed dress and a cloud of shame. sniffling the entire way. It wasn't like I would have stayed late anyway. Most of them lived within walking distance of the party, and acted like I lived across the country since I'd finally convinced my parents to let me move to Milton to be closer to my job at the shelter, and get away from the judgmental stares of the Agathos community. It was a decision that exactly one person in my life was happy about, and that person was me. Never more so than in that moment, smelling like vanilla sponge cake and tears. The smooth roads out of Auburn were lined with well-spaced colonial mansions and 100-year-old trees. But as Auburn gave way to Milton, the scenery changed rapidly. Mansions became abandoned factories, row houses, and crumbling condos. Smooth roads were suddenly filled with bumps and potholes. Driving into Milton always felt like entering a different world. It consistently ranked as one of the worst cities in the country to live in, with a high crime rate, high unemployment, and a weak job market. It was a city that had peaked in the late 19th century and had been struggling along ever since. But it called to me for some reason. Not the call, like my friends had felt towards their soul bonds, but some other kind of calling. The short commute was definitely a plus, but I worked with plenty of other Agathos, and none of them had felt called to hang around here after the workday was done. They all happily rushed back to their brand new SUVs and kept their foot pressed to the gas until they got back to the safety of Auburn city limits. Fortunately, thanks to my mother's diligent PR work, the wider community believed I had moved to Milton because I had a servant's heart for helping others. That it wasn't enough for me to just work at the Agathos-run shelter during the day. I had chosen to live in the community I served because I was just that selfless. I wasn't sure my motivations were that altruistic. She couldn't lie, but she was selective about the truths she told. Marvin Gaye on the radio cut off as my phone started ringing through the car speakers, and with a heavy sigh, I hit accept call on the dash. Speak of the Schmevel. That was an unkind thought. Hello, Mother. Terrible news, Mother began, with no preamble, as per usual. Joy Lyon died. That's awful, I breathed, genuinely surprised. I barely knew the woman, but she was only 40, with 3 young kids and 4 bonded mates. Her death would rip a lot of people's worlds apart. Sugar. Those poor children. It is, Mother said, and I could hear the grimace in her voice. Just happened today. Car accident. I'll let you know when the public memorial is. Next week, I assume. Yes, keep me updated, I murmured, although I'd probably hear it from my boss first, since she'd roster all human staff on that day. It was unusual for a bonded Agathos woman to die young, or at least to die alone. We didn't suffer from human illnesses, a trade-off for dedicating our lives to humans, I supposed. And usually, women were cosseted and protected by their bonded at all times. How was the baby shower? Mother asked. What did you wear? You were meant to send me a picture of your outfit before you left your apartment. Mother had a way of saying apartment like she was saying prison. It was genuinely impressive, even as I fought the very not-sweet urge to roll my eyes. I supposed, compared to the 5-bedroom, 5-bathroom sprawling home in Auburn where the rest of my family lived, my 1-bedroom apartment seemed quaint. The pale pink pleated skirt Mercy found for me, and the beige cashmere sweater I got in the city. I was sure she'd hear about the food incident at some point, but I wasn't going to volunteer that information. I would definitely cry again if we talked about it now, and nothing frustrated my mother more than my tendency to weep whenever my emotions got the better of me. Mother hummed disapprovingly. "You know I don't like you in beige. Pale colors brighten your complexion. I like my complexion." There was an indignant scoff on the other end of the phone that made me cringe. I wasn't about to fight that particular battle again, though. At this point, I felt I was better focusing off my energy on preserving my own self-worth and my cousin Mercy, who lived with her, than trying to convince my mother that she was beautiful the way she was, that we all were. At least she wasn't as hard on my brothers about their appearance. Yet, anyway. Maybe once they hit middle school. "Be sweet. You know it was difficult for her when she first immigrated to Auburn." "You could have stopped by the house," Mother added. "You were just around the corner. Mercy will be disappointed that you didn't want to see her." My jaw was starting to ache with how hard I was clenching it, so I forced myself to relax. I saw my family every Friday night for dinner. My cousin Mercy was only 17, but incredibly understanding about why I didn't visit more frequently than that. Each dinner, I would sit silently at the table and have my self-esteem ripped apart, one shred at a time, and spend the entire week building it back up again. "Oh, well," Mother continued. "We all knew this would happen when you moved so far away. You'll have to come here to get ready before the memorial so your dress doesn't wrinkle on the way." That was a more creative version of, "I need to approve your outfit," than I usually got. "Of course," I murmured. "I should concentrate on driving now, Mother." "Indeed. We've lost enough of our women to car accidents today," Mother replied absently, and I flinched at the bleak assessment. It wasn't wrong. Agathos couldn't lie even if they wanted to. But it was still callous. Poor Joy Lyon. As always, Mother hung up without saying goodbye, and the soothing sounds of "I heard it through the grapevine" came through the speakers again. I exhaled a long breath, forcing myself to concentrate on happier things, like what early 2000s rom-coms I was going to watch tonight to pick myself up after my emotionally exhausting day, or the mint chocolate ice cream in the freezer I was going to indulge in for dessert. Every conversation with my mother required breathing exercises and relaxing music afterward to aid the recovery process. That probably wasn't a sweet thought either, but I was feeling particularly irritable after my disastrous afternoon. Maybe I'd gotten too comfortable over the past 6 months. Living in Milton meant I didn't have to wear my serene mask all the time, and it got increasingly difficult to put it back on. I parked across the street from my building as the sun was setting and trudged up the stairs to my second-story walk-up, carrying my ruined clothes in a grocery bag. It was just a little one-bedroom apartment, but it was the first place that had ever been mine, and I adored it. I'd been working for years, and Milton's property prices were so cheap that I'd been able to buy it. Slowly, I was working on creating the perfect little oasis where I could be myself and pretend I wasn't some combination of cursed and broken. It was ideal. Plus, there were only 3 other apartments in the building, all occupied by regular humans. Being near their territory but not actually on it seemed to be fine with the surrounding daemons. So long as they had access to corruptible humans, they didn't care much about what we did or all the ways in which we tried to redeem those same humans. I unlocked the door and leaned against it with my shoulder to heave it open, the comforting scent of all the wax melts I liked to use hitting me instantly. My feet practically exhaled with
Sample complete. Ready to continue?